I like to think that all of you have read at least the New Testament. I don't know if that's true or not, but I like to believe that. I like, especially personally, the book of John. The book of John has so much theology, but it's written in so many different levels. You can read it one time and understand it at one level, and then you read it another time and you understand it at a completely different level. Not contradictory levels, complementary levels, but they're all at different levels. You can always find more and different ways of seeing things. But the one thing that I love about John is that this is the gospel that proclaims Christ to be God. And we see this in many, many cases throughout the gospel. Even he proclaims himself through his words. Because when he says, I am the gate, I am the light, the I am is significant because this is the name that God gave himself. When Moses asked him, who should I tell the Israelites is sending me? And he said, I am. Ego imi. He didn't say, tell them, Jim sent me, or Jack, or whatever. He didn't give a name. He didn't give a noun. He gave something that is very powerful, something that is dynamic. I am. I exist. So when Christ is quoted in John's gospel of saying, I am, many people found it scandalous, especially the Pharisees. In today's gospel, we see some of that, not the I am statement, but we see some of the ways that the gospel of John is written. A lot of times he has these opposites, and he compares opposites in different levels. For instance, today we are seeing light and darkness. We are seeing sight and blindness, which is like light and darkness. And we see a blind man from birth that Jesus heals. He goes and he takes some spittle and some mud and he puts it, packs it on his eyes, and he says, go to the fountain and wash your eyes out. And he went, and he went to the Pharisee. They took him to the temple. And everybody was confused. Now the man could see who had been born blind. So they took him to the Pharisees who had been born with sight, but now were blinded. And this is the dynamic that's taking place here. They say to him, who did this to you? He said, a man called Jesus. And he says, how did they do it? How did he do it? And he says, well, he took mud, he put it in my eyes, told me to go wash. And then they ask him again, he says, who did this? And then they bring his parents in here. And they said, is this your son? And they said, this is our son. He says, well, how can he see? He says, well, this is our son. He was born blind, and I don't know how he can see now. He says, ask him himself. So we see this little drama taking place here. And we see the man who is born blind now can see, and yet those who were born with sight cannot see. They cannot understand. They cannot comprehend it. Well, of course, another level is that it was done on the Sabbath. Jesus did this on the Sabbath. And by the rabbinical laws and the Mosaic laws, the Sabbath was not to be, nothing was allowed to be done on it. Now, God said that the Sabbath is a day of rest. Okay, well, that basically is honor the Sabbath. Okay, now, the lawyers took it and turned it into a whole list of rules and laws and things that you were allowed to do and that you're not allowed to do. And you're not allowed to drag something through the dirt because that was plowing. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do that. even walking, because they used to walk very quickly then. That was their mode of transportation. You could only walk at a slow, comfortable pace. And sometimes in the Gospels we see, it says, a Sabbath's day walk is not the same distance as a regular day walk. A Sabbath day walk is as far as you can stroll in a day. But a regular day walk is, you're really walking. So now we see that this man has been healed on the Sabbath. And he's a little bit of a wise guy. And can't blame him. And here he's been blind and he can see. He's just overjoyed. He's ecstatic. And they're saying that, well, whoever healed you couldn't have been of God. Why? Because he did it on the Sabbath. He broke the rules. The Sabbath rule, the rabbinical rules of the Sabbath of what you could do and what you couldn't do. But now at a different level, we see that there is this notion of mercy and the notion of laws. So we have the laws against mercy. And you know, Jesus was combating this all through the Gospels. It says you hypocrites, you would take and water your livestock, you would take and pull your donkey out of the well, an animal out of the well on the Sabbath. This is because you're showing them mercy. It says, and can't the Son of Man also come and do merciful things? Well, this was an act of mercy. They didn't like it because it didn't fit into their rules. Rules, my friends, are very, very important. As a society, we have to have rules. And these are rules of order, rules of conduct, so that we will be a society. We can be joined together as a society. We usually know that if we go through an intersection with a green light, that we're not going to be plowed by a guy. Okay, now if they break that rule, then there's going to be an accident. But we have a confidence about that, because there are rules. However, is it and should it be that every aspect of our life should be controlled by rules and little laws and da-da-da-da-da-da, and somebody's always there to look and to catch you? Well, that's what it had become in that day. In those days, the Pharisees were the lawyers and the scribes, and they were the ones who would always be looking to criticize, to point the finger, and to do. Now they were absolutely astounded that this man could actually heal, but that didn't bother them. They were not thinking of the miracle that took place. They were thinking about the law that had been broken. So we see all of these different things coming in and all of these different levels of understanding. Truly a beautiful, beautiful story. At the end of the story, the man came up to Jesus. Now remember, the first time that Jesus had approached him, he didn't know him. He didn't see him. And he said, they made their acquaintance then. And Jesus revealed to him that he was the Son of Man. And interestingly, it says, and he worshiped him. Worship is only reserved for God. So it is acknowledging that this man understood that Jesus was God because he worshiped him. So now the whole world is blinded, even the disciples of Christ at this point. They're blinded. They don't see Jesus as being God. They don't see him as being the Son of God, the Son of Man. However, the blind man saw that. He could see that. Another level is, why could the blind man see that and the others not see that? At one point, the Pharisees say, "You are his follower. We are followers of Moses because we know what he said is true." How do they know that? Do they have videos of what Moses did? Do they have photographs of what Moses did? They have the story that has been handed down. They have the witnesses. But how do you know? The reality is they don't know. They believe in what Moses said, as we believe in what Moses said. The blind man knew. He had experienced God. He didn't need anything else to tell him. He knew that Jesus was God because Jesus had healed him. Blindness from birth. He knew that because he experienced that. So when we oftentimes, when somebody says, "Well, how do you know about God? And how do you know about that?" Says, "Well, really, the worst answer we can give is, well, because the Bible tells us that." Well, the Bible tells us that, and when we read that, we believe. But the Bible, we can't say, "I read the Bible, and it's true," any more than we can say, "I read the newspaper, and it's true." Because then we're begging the question. Because you say, "Well, how do you know that the Bible's true? Because God says so. And how do you know that God exists? Because the Bible tells me." So you get into the circular argument, but that's not what it's about, and we should not be there. We should be at a place of faith, of belief. Even in our creed, we don't say, "I know." We say, "I believe." But what we do know is when God acts in our lives, when we are blind to something and we pray and he opens our eyes and we see, we have experienced him. Our God is an experiential God. He came as a physical being and then he left. But we have to experience him to know him. And once we experience him, we know that he exists. And it overcomes the weakness of our faith and the weakness of our belief. So open now our hearts so that we might experience God in our lives. And we don't have to rely on just faith. We can have faith and knowledge if we experience him. And the only way we can experience him, we have to open that thing, will allow the Holy Spirit to come into us. And when the Holy Spirit comes into us, we know, like the blind man who couldn't see and now can see better than those who were born with sight, we will know that God exists even better than those who think and only believe he exists.